Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks a lot for listening this morning. The government shutdown is over for now, and the debt ceiling for now has been raised to match Congress's actual borrowing. But these are temporary short-term fixes. What comes next will be a new attempt at a bipartisan compromise on taxes, spending, and deficit reduction that would present tough political choices for both sides on entitlements, on taxes, on the size of the military. Let's talk about what might come next with Bill Frenzel. He's a former Republican congressman from Minnesota and a current fiscal policy expert at the Brookings Institution. Congressman Frenzel, welcome to WNYC. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
So pundits are saying no grand bargain is likely, but maybe a mini bargain. Here's Nancy Pelosi on ABC This Week yesterday laying down a bottom line.
So we have to have facts as we go forward. We have to have common sense as we go forward. We have to go to the table understanding that we cannot shut down and we cannot place in doubt the full faith and credit of the United States of America. But we do have to recognize that among those on the Republican side are those who are anti-government ideologues, and they cannot wag this dog.
Nancy Pelosi, House Democratic leader on ABC This Week. Yesterday, you heard Martha Raddatz trying to poke in there with a follow-up question. So, Bill Frenzel, what do you think? With that as a starting point from the Democratic side, maybe it's not going to be Simpson-Bowles, but will it be Simpson-Bowles light?
I don't think so. I think that's a bridge too far for the current polarized state of the Congress. All they did when they took us over the difficult shoals of default and postponed that until the end of the year was to agree to do that which they should have done in early summer. That is to have a conference committee of the budget committees to decide how to handle the FY14. Budget. Since that's going to be the main focus, it doesn't look to me like there's going to be any important progress made on the long-term problem, which is our debt ratio problem, which roughly translated is we need some more revenues and we need some less expenditures. And Republicans don't want to give any more revenues, and Democrats don't want to have any less expenditures. And so I don't think we're going to make a lot of progress. Maybe a little bit, a mini deal, but even that's hard to conceive of.
But does that mean that come the end of the extensions that they passed, the budget until January, the debt ceiling until February, that we're going to get right back into the, you know, the pressure of deadline breathlessness?
No, I think, Brian, that the days, at least in the immediate future, of government shutdowns and threatened defaults are done. I think the members of Congress, particularly the Republicans, understand that was about the dumbest strategy around, and that they have paid a price for it. And so I don't think they're going to let that happen again. I think what we might expect is to have a budget for the fiscal year 14, which, of course, began back on October 1st, and perhaps some of the cuts of the sequester saved, but applied differently than simply in silly across-the-board cuts. Probably the debt ceiling will be extended till after the election, and I would hope that there would be some kind of agreement for the future that would involve tax reform and entitlements, but they're not ready to work on the details yet, and so that's going to be a promise. And Congress is a notorious promise breaker.
Indeed. Former Congressman Bill Frenzel from Minnesota, now with the Brookings Institution, our guest, as we ask what comes next after the government shutdown ended. You mentioned the sequester, and currently we have the sequester, the kind of default budget cuts that neither side really loves, but that cut the budget a fair amount. Does the sequester do it in terms of the amount of spending cuts for the deficit reduction that the Republicans want?
Absolutely not. The sequester, there's some doubt among economists as to whether the amount of the sequester was too much, but certainly the way it's applied across the board is anathema to all sensible management of government. And it is the hope of many budget hawks like myself that the cuts will be maintained, but they will be applied in a more reasonable way. That is, applied where we think we can stand the cuts, but not have them applied to children's health or to anything that would affect our military and at least our soldiers on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
We can do better than we have done. But the real problem, the debt bomb of the future, is entitlements, and which now represent about two-thirds of our budget. In fact, in another 20 years, we'll be spending four out of every five government dollars on entitlements if we don't make some changes. And those are the problems we have to solve. The Democrats say we need more revenue. The Republicans say we need less spending. And until they're willing to sit down and negotiate something between themselves, it isn't going to change.
On the sequester, though, even the one-year plan, mm-hmm. if all they're going to do is rearrange the particular cuts to something more rational, does it mean that for now the Republicans have actually won? Because to get a little bit wonky here on the numbers, the budget for this fiscal year, correct me if I'm wrong, with the sequester cuts is $988 billion. The Democrats want pre-sequester levels, which would be $1.05 trillion. Now, that sounds like it's pretty close. It's a little below a trillion or a little above a trillion, but it's billions and billions of dollars. And that's the argument that the Democrats and the Republicans are having right now, or part of it. So does it mean for the next year or so, despite losing politically with the government shutdown, that the Republicans win on next year's budget?
Well, I'm not sure they win on next year's budget, but certainly they've won on the sequester so far because we are proceeding at last year's spending levels, which include the sequesters. And so certainly there's less money going out, and the totals are the Republican totals, not the totals of the Republican House, not the Democrat Senate. But those are going to be modified. They're going to have to reach some kind of a compromise. And so both sides are hopeful that the Republicans are hopeful they'll hold back some spending, and Democrats are hopeful they're going to recover some spending in areas where they think it's mostly needed. I believe there will be a compromise, and the number will be somewhere in between.
So understanding that you're a deficit hawk, as you said, you know, many liberals are deeply skeptical of this whole enterprise, even the framing of the conversation. They say two things. Mainly, one, the entire focus, focus is wrong for this moment. We should be talking about how much new stimulus to help with the jobs crisis in this country with, because we have a jobs crisis right now, not a debt crisis. And two, even the long-term debt is being exaggerated by the privatizers, Wall Street, which stands to make money off of it, and those who are ideologically opposed to Medicare and Social Security, as there have always been. So on that first point, even as a deficit hawk, might we be having the wrong conversation, that is, only talking about how to cut the deficit rather than talking about new stimulus to help with jobs right now?
Not from my standpoint. We we have known about the long-term debt problem for many years. It's a simple matter of demographics, a lot of people getting old and fewer people getting born. And we waited much too long to begin having this conversation about reducing expenditures. And so we found ourselves in the middle of a recession. We spent like mad and incurred enormous deficits to supply the stimuli to get us out of the recession. And I thought that was a good idea. I think we should not have to stimulate ourselves forever. That is what I call the Krugman approach. And obviously, he's smarter than I am. He's got a Nobel laureate. But nevertheless, it does not seem to me a good idea to give up any of the spending reductions that we've put in place, that is, in total anyway, and that we should still continue to look for a 10-year plan to stabilize our debt ratio at about 60% out there, perhaps a decade or maybe a little more in the future.
I want to play a clip of Senator Chuck Schumer of New York on Meet the Press yesterday on the debt ceiling piece of this. The debt ceiling, of course, was raised as part of the agreement last week to allow the government to borrow the money that it has already basically said it's going to borrow.
Correct. It's spent it. Now it has to decide whether it wants to pay the bill.
So here is Schumer quoting Mitch McConnell on a possible solution to having these debt ceiling deadline fights in the future. Listen.
Now, one way, David, to avoid this from happening again is for us to implement the McConnell rule, which says that Congress must disapprove rather than approve increases in the debt ceiling. If we were to do that, the chances of going up to the brink again, the chances of this kind of debacle would decrease. I'm going to introduce legislation.
All right. Senator Schumer to David Gregory on Meet the Press. Are you familiar with this so-called McConnell rule?
I am. Yeah, I am, and I think it is one of the good ideas by which we could avoid a debt ceiling problem. There are at least a couple more. Number one, we should just forget about voting for a debt ceiling or not, but agree that we're going to pay the bills that we contracted for. Well, I don't think Congress will ever do that. There is another way, which was invented by Democrat Dick Gephardt back in the 80s, in which when you pass a budget resolution, the debt ceiling is automatically increased to fill the number that you've chosen for your budget resolution. Any one of those three ideas would be satisfactory to me. I think it is absurd to talk about federal government defaulting on its debt.
Well, we will see what happens as we enter the next phase of this post-shutdown, post-debt ceiling debacle phase of what is still a long-term tussle over debt and Social Security and Medicare and spending and taxes and the whole ball of wax in a divided government. We thank Bill Frenzel, former Republican congressman from Minnesota, current fiscal policy expert at Brookings, for his perspective today. Obviously, many more perspectives to come in the coming days. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.